Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, welcome to the show. This is a show where you can call in with your legal questions. Our sole purpose here is to help you in any way we possibly can. I'm with attorney Patrick Smith this morning. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Joe.
We're here just to answer your legal questions. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Your question can be just about any area of law. If either Patrick or I know the answer, we'll be glad to share what we know and try to help you. If we don't know, we just simply find you a resource to further help you. So again, you can ask about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, family law, real estate law, personal injury, just about any area of law you have a question or a problem. It doesn't even have to be a legal question. You just have a problem you'd like to talk to someone about. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. We also would like to invite you to watch our show, our radio show, on WeBeamTV.com or on Facebook. And Patrick has an Instagram feed running right now live as well. So if you'd like to contact us to get more information about how to do that, but you can simply go to WeBeamTV.com. They're streaming it live right now. We're also on their network of programs. It's also on my page, Ask an Attorney page, my personal page. We're streaming it on those sites. And if you'd like to watch the show, please do. Patrick and I will talk about a few legal topics in between questions. We'd rather just talk to you, though. So you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Patrick, you and I, before the show, were talking a little bit about the five-year trust, it's called. Now, this is a pretty popular Medicaid planning document where you can, you know, I had a client this week who was in their upper 80s. Had some liquid cash, and they wanted to protect almost half of it to make sure it wasn't used for their medical cost or Medicaid cost. So you can create a irrevocable trust, and if as long as they don't go in a nursing home for 5 years, all that money will be protected at the end of the five-year period.
Yeah, that's spot on, Joe. Under the state of Florida's three-pronged test, testing the person's level of need, their level of assets, and their level of income, those level of assets and level of income are set pretty low. So putting an irrevocable trust in place whereby you reallocate a lot of your assets to that trust, wait the requisite 60 months, and thereby shield those assets from that analysis can be critical in preserving your family's wealth.
All right, so if you have any questions about that or any other Medicaid issues or how to qualify for Medicaid, how to protect your estate, have to not have to spend down the money, there are ways to do all of those things, and we'll be glad to discuss those with you as well. Again, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Dan in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was listening to you on another radio station during the week, and I heard you mention umbrella policies and beneficiaries in a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could address both of those concerning advantages and disadvantages.
Let me ask you a question, Dan. Are you a doctor or anything like that where you are very concerned about liability?
No.
Okay, so your main concern about liability would be a car accident, probably.
Yeah, you gave the 30-car crash interstate example.
Yes. Okay. Well, we recommend to most of our clients who, when we get into the topic of asset protection, about an umbrella policy. So an umbrella policy, I don't know, I think I pay $472 a year for $1 million worth of coverage over top of my regular insurance. So a lot of people have a $1, $2, or $3 million umbrella policy, but you recommend at least like a $1 million policy, so that if you do, you are involved in a car accident, and it's over your 100, 300 limit or whatever type of insurance you have an extra probability of your case being settled very quickly. Because once the insurance company writes a check for $100,000, the rest is on you, if you understand. So you'd be liable. So to have $1 million worth of coverage, in case you did cause an accident that would go over your insurance limits, you have, or somebody slips on your sidewalk in front of your house, you have an umbrella policy to cover the extra costs. Patrick, why don't you chime in?
Yeah, Joe, the only thing I would add to that is you may also want to ask your insurance provider about adding uninsured, underinsured riders to that umbrella. And that way, if someone harms you and they don't have sufficient insurance, you can actually make a claim on your own umbrella policy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, can you talk about, should you have beneficiaries when you have an irrevocable trust? You mentioned percentages the other day.
Have beneficiaries on, like, insurance?
Well, like on a, say...
annuity or insurance?
A 403B, for example.
Yeah, retirement plan. The answer generally would be yes, you should have beneficiaries on those. However, if you have some need to stretch out the distribution of your estate, you know, not give, make someone a big pop all at once on a as a beneficiary, you want to control it over a period of time, then the trust would be the beneficiary. If it's a retirement account, there has to be special language in the trust not to cause any adverse tax situations. Patrick, you have anything you wanted to?
Yeah, I was just going to say, on most qualified assets under the code analysis, they don't receive any step-up in tax basis. So you typically want to name an adult, healthy person as the beneficiary, and it optimizes what we call the post-mortem income tax planning opportunities. It doesn't really change the fact that we have to pay taxes, but it changes the timing on when those taxes are paid. So on the margins, that can change the value of the tax that actually has to be paid. But Joe's analysis is spot on. If there's a reason to stretch that payment, for instance, it's a minor, it's a special needs beneficiary, it's a four-legged beneficiary, there may be the need to route it through the trust, but you want to make sure the trust is equipped with that requisite language in order to optimize that tax planning.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for calling. Let's go to Bill in Bradenton.
Good morning. Good morning, Joe. This is estate planning.
Okay.
I've heard you talk many times that a person should put all their assets into the trust.
Well, all is not exactly correct, but go ahead.
Okay.
I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, then, when I die, does the successor trustee have to pay capital gains on the assets, you know, that I put in the name of the trust?
All right, if you have a revocable trust and have stocks in your irrevocable trust, they get a stepped-up cost basis at time of death.
Okay.
So just like an individual, a revocable trust gets the same tax benefit, and that is a stepped-up cost basis.
Okay, and then I take it, you know, from that premise, I take it that when they make distributions to beneficiaries, there's no capital gains.
No, it gets a stepped-up cost basis that can be distributed to the beneficiaries.
Okay, good. That's the first question. And the second question, I've got a couple of grandkids that are minors. I would like to leave them, for instance, a few shares of a particular stock that they couldn't touch until they're 65 years old.
Wow.
Can I do that? You
can put language in the trust that the stock would be maintained, although we wouldn't usually recommend that the stock itself be maintained in the same name because, you know, things change.
Okay.
You know, Sears is going out of business, for example.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah,
you know, 10 years ago, you would have thought maybe, well, I'm going to have some Sears stock. I want my grandkids to have this stock, so I'm going to direct the trustee never to sell the Sears stock, and that'll be a great benefit for them when they're 65. Well, guess what? You could say the same thing with AT&T. That's right. Split up, and, you know, some of those little baby bells went out of business or changed. So you always give the trustee discretion on the investment of, like, stocks.
Okay.
But, yes, you can put a dollar amount or a percentage to the grandkids. You can have it not go to them till they're 65 if that's what you want. And you can put provisions along the way that it can be used for emergency medical or whatever you want to do, but it can be very restrictive or it can wait. It could be their retirement account. I've had a few clients say, my children or one of my children is never going to have money for a retirement account, so I just want their inheritance to be their retirement account, and you can structure it that way.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, thank you. And you said that as far as all assets in the trust, you said
I'm going to have Patrick comment about things you don't put in the trust.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a there's a list of assets that we commonly don't recommend going directly into the trust, and a lot of those we've already touched on today. It's the life insurances, the annuity products, the 401ks, the IRAs, the 403bs, the 457s, these things that receive tax-deferred status. And like we said, in an effort to optimize the post-mortem income tax planning strategies, you typically want to route those directly to the adult beneficiaries.
What about autos, Patrick? They put in a trust?
Yeah, I mean, my auto collectors, we typically set up a special automotive trust to hold all those automobiles. But if it's your day-to-day A to B car, you typically don't fund those into the trust so that the trust isn't sued directly if your automobile is involved in an accident.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Well, thanks very much for your
help. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
Patrick, this is going to be called a tease, so I want to tell the listeners we're going to talk about what if you have a 16-year-old or 17-year-old and driving the car, what kind of planning would you do for that for asset protection?
I'm on the precipice of
this, I know. So we want to keep them holding on and make them listen to the show to hear that answer for a few minutes. Let's go to Alexandra.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. And you, where are you calling from? Tampa. So what can we do for you?
Yes, I have, well, it's really a big question, but also it'll be very informative to all your listeners. My mom had dementia, and she signed over a power of attorney to a sibling.
Mm-hmm. Is your mom deceased?
I'm sorry?
Is your mom deceased?
No, she disappeared. She went out for a walk and never came back.
Oh, very sorry. How long ago was that?
That was June 8th, 2017.
Wow. And you've never heard from her?
Never, no.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That must be horrible.
It certainly is.
Beyond horrible. Yeah, I'm very sorry.
But it is, and I'm still like a hard time dealing with that.
Well, do you think one of your siblings took her away to a secret place that you don't know about or something?
That is quite possible, and yes, that is something that I truly believe.
Okay.
But they had gotten power of attorney on my dad's deathbed from my mom, whom she had early onset at 55.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point when my dad was passing in 2012, my one brother, who is an attorney, had my dad sign over power of attorney to him, and then sign over power of attorney for my mom to my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started pilfering things from my mom after my dad passed. They took all of her silverware, took jewelry, they took all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to several attorneys to talk to them about what can I do to stop this. And they said, there's nothing I can do. Because I don't know if it's just the state of Florida or if it's just, it's just something that's just standard, that if somebody has dementia, you cannot prove if they don't have a moment of clarity that what they're doing, they are cognizant of what they're doing and signing.
Well, as long as they haven't been declared incompetent and subject to the guardianship court, that would probably be true.
The physicians and so forth that she had been seeing, everybody knew and told them about her.
Yeah, the question would be, would one of those doctors sign an affidavit that she was unable to manage her financial affairs?
Okay.
And I think if you could get two doctors, you'd have a strong case, but then you'd have to find mother and then discover the assets.
Right. And that would be very arduous as far as financially to pursue that, I would think.
Yeah, well, they have forensic CPAs and people who do tax work. So you might be able to track down if a tax return is still being filed in her name, and then who prepared it. And then you might be able to pose that person to track where she is. I mean, there are ways to get involved and do things like that.
That's wonderful. I would love to speak to you more about this. because I think this is, I'm not knowledgeable about this,
mm-hmm.
and I've yet to meet an attorney that's been able to help me, and the fact that you are on, you know, today,
mm-hmm.
I thought this was wonderful and an ideal.
Well, yeah, I think there are ways, if she's if she files a tax return, I think there's going to be a way to find her. Patrick, you want to chime in with?
Yeah, I'm so sorry about your mom. I mean, your family will be in our thoughts and prayers. I would wish that on no one. The only other thought I had to add to what Joe commented on was maybe consider hiring a private investigator. And they're going to do kind of essentially what Joe thought about, you know, tracking down the tax return, follow the money a lot of times. But the private investigators have resources at their disposal to help track down parties. So I would try that first to see if a private investigator was able to locate your mother.
Okay. Okay, well, I appreciate that very much. It was just very, it's just the situation in itself was just very peculiar. And there's a lot of different things that went on, but that's not the important part of the call. But the important part is that maybe your listeners should know that somebody should have their power of attorney and everything ready before a situation like this happens, because dementia actually starts 20 years before it starts presenting itself.
Hmm.
Well, that's why Joe and I call what we do planning. I mean, these are things
yeah.
that we try to anticipate and borderline prognosticate a lot of times. And when you wait till the situation's occurred, oftentimes it's too late.
Yeah.
So let me ask you one question, though. So you, I'm assuming you have no relationship with your siblings?
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
When it came to the search,
mm-hmm.
We searched for her for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
We had hundreds of people, if not 1,000 people, and the sheriff's department and so forth. And they sat there in front of my mom's house as if it was a tailgate party and did not help at all. And even with their adult children, sat out there and did nothing.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be glad to talk to you off the air, though.
Oh, I would really love that. Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Smith. Attorney Joe Pippin, along with Attorney Patrick Smith.
Speaking of that, we do name changes.
Yeah. 877-943-9673. You're taping this. So you're going to use that against me somehow.
Joe decided to change his last name just for me.
Right. All right. So if you have a question, toll-free number, 877-943-9673. I can hear you. I can visualize your mother laughing right now for some reason.
She's definitely listening and watching, I'm sure.
All right. So again, if you have a legal question, 877-943-9673. If you'd like to watch us do this radio show, you can go to WeBeamTV.com. They're streaming it live. It's also being streamed live on Facebook, Ask an Attorney. It's being streamed live on Facebook. Patrick is Instagram live streaming as well right now. So any one of those three, we'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to be part of a LinkedIn network, I'm on LinkedIn, and we also we Ask an Attorney. You can join our Facebook page on Ask an Attorney as well. If you'd like to call the show again, 877-943-9673. So, Patrick, since this applies to you almost, I guess, what are you going to do when your son is 16 and driving a car?
Probably allow him to emancipate himself as a minor and just go on his own.
Right.
No, I mean...
I'm going to tape that and use that against you now, so we have something that I can counter with.
That's right, and hopefully his mother's not listening.
Right.
So. I think at the end of the day, you have to max out your home and auto insurance, get a good umbrella policy, and just pray for the best. I mean, you put the car in the child's name, but you're on the hook for the insurance with the child, so you're tethered no matter what to a certain degree. But I think making sure your other assets are properly shielded, I don't think it's optimal to put the car in mom, dad, and child's name. I think you pick a spouse. You rely on tenancy by the entirety's protection for a lot of the spousal assets. But again, it's what we started the show with. It's being properly insured with good home, auto, and umbrella coverage.
Yeah, now, talking about putting the car in their name, can you put a car in the name of a 16, 17-year-old?
Not alone.
Yeah.
Not alone.
All right. So the other question is, I was talking to a man this week who's been recently divorced, and the child spent half his time with the father, half with the mother, and we were talking about this very, very question. And the case comes up that, I said, you know, the person that takes him and signs for his driver's license is really on the hook till the child is 18, no matter who owns the car.
Right.
So I said, look, get your ex, which wasn't my client, to take him to get his driver's license, because then she would be liable for that part of it. And then if you could give the ex money to buy the car, and she's the one that purchased the car, and she arranged for the driver's license, I have just created an excellent asset protection plan for you.
That's brilliant.
Huh?
Yeah, well done. Spot on.
Yeah, so those are the type of things that you have to worry about if you have a minor child, is you're on the hook. And you definitely would get, if you're going to buy the car, take him or her to get her driver's license and get the umbrella policy, you've done some excellent planning, but also you might still be on the hook just because you went to take them to get their driver's license. So always get someone else. Maybe get the grandparent who could take them to get their driver's license.
Hey, Joe, I've been meaning to ask you, will you take William to get his driver's license?
Yeah. We'll, I'll have Troy do it.
There you go.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. Hope Troy's not listening.
That's right.
Part,
so, that's right.
All right. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673, if you have a legal question. So we're talking a little bit about how to stretch out assets. So the three most common reasons that I think of when you want to not give a child an outright distribution is, one, if they have an addiction. That's a very common reason not to give a child a big lump sum asset because, hey, what have you done? You just enabled the addiction. Two, suppose you have someone who you need to create a retirement account for because they just can't keep a job, can't hold a job, can't make much money. Never have much money, wouldn't know what to do with it if they did have a lot of money, so why give them a lot of money all at once? So you can stretch it out over a long period of time. And you know, Patrick, sometimes people have children that have evil in-laws, I call them. So those who take total control of the money because their child may be weak in that area and totally use the money for their own benefit. What are some of the other, you have any other thoughts about why people would control money?
Well, I mean, it's sort of a corollary to the evil in-laws. It's just that the child is generally bad with money and then subject to anyone's influence, not necessarily just in-laws. You also see situations where people have creditor liability hanging over their head, so you don't want them to walk into a lump sum of money because of a judgment that's maybe held against them, or you see a special needs situation where you don't want the lump sum hitting the child's hands. I mean, each one of those is unique and requires unique language, but they're all situations where you don't want a lump sum hitting a beneficiary's hands.
All right, the toll-free number to call the radio show. Patrick and I would love to talk to you and answer your questions, get you pointed in the right direction if possible. 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. If you'd like to call our office, we have a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you'd like to email Patrick,
Patrick Smith at attypip.com.
If you'd like to text me, it's 727-667-3967. And, Patrick, do you want to give your text number?
Sure. If you want to text, it's 386-334-9970.
And so if you would like to call the show, we have open lines right now. I guess you and I have been talking too much, right? 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. I started the show talking about the 5-year trust. Now, would you want to do that? Well, perhaps if you're older and have a lot of liquid assets and you're not really using them and you want to protect them so they have, your family has a legacy or inheritance from you, you might very well want to do that. Are there risks involved? Well, the risk, the only risk would be if you don't need the money, you can, you would still get income from the trust because you generally don't keep income inside a trust. The principal would be protected to be passed on, and the other danger is that you have to survive the 5-year look back period for it to totally be protected. Now, it might just be partially protected anyway, but you're totally protected, you'd have to get through the 5 years. So I think it's a good planning strategy for some clients, not all. Some, we've done a lot of Medicaid planning. There are other ways to protect your assets in Medicaid. Homestead's exempt.
Absolutely. And sort of dovetail with the insurance conversation we began the show with. And we're neither Joe or I are insurance salesmen, but both of us are big fans of long-term care coverage. That's one way to have a guarantee of what coverage you'll have should you ever have to go into long-term care. And you can sort of know exactly how long and what level of coverage you'll be receiving so that you can plan accordingly. A lot of people wait till it's too late to apply for that long-term care coverage so that they're either not eligible or it's cost prohibitive at that point. So looking into good long-term care coverage through a qualified insurance agent could be optimal for your estate as well.
Now, Patrick, I'm sure you have a lot of clients just like I do that created trust 15 years ago or more. And some of the planning strategy back then was to create what's called an AV trust.
Mm-hmm.
So now they come into the office for review, which we offer our clients at no charge. We send letters every 3 or 4 years and suggest a review. So the clients that had these old AB trusts, because they had $1 million and they wanted 2 exemptions at the time, most of the time now, if it's the first long-term marriage and they're going to leave every, well, they wanted to leave everything to each other anyway, I just redo the package and do a joint trust. There's no sense to have the old AB trust.
Yeah, these are the appointments that seem to induce narcolepsy in my clients because they bring in those AB trusts and we start going through the trust and we tell them your trust has a pecuniary funding formula and it's either pecuniary marital, pecuniary credit shelter, or fractional share. And at this point, you've lost the client. They don't really know what you're saying at this point. They just know that the trust is very complicated. And we sort of land the plane early and say, look, it's complicated. It's more complicated than what you need given the changes in the tax law. At the time you did this, the complication served a purpose, but not really now. And we can dramatically simplify it. So I agree with your strategy. A lot of times it's simply rolling back to a joint trust for a married couple and abandoning the AB credit shelter model.
All right, and I want to talk about the 100-page trust here in just a few minutes as
sure.
well. But let's go to Tim and Brandon. Hey, Tim.
I have a question. I have a $150,000 term life insurance policy that expires in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old are you?
I am 66.
Okay.
That and there's a company that will buy your insurance policies and give you a settlement.
I doubt they're going to buy a term policy that expires in 1 year when you're 66, though.
Well, in talking to them, they said possibly they would because it might be convertible.
How much are they going to offer you for it?
That I don't know yet, but I just want to know what you think about that. And my wife wants to know what you think about that, too.
Are you healthy?
I am healthy.
Well, I think my first thought, and we'll let Patrick see if he thinks the same way I do on this. If you're 66 and healthy, and you have a term policy that's going to expire in a year that you can't renew or convert, I would take the money and run.
Okay, well, that's what I was thinking, too.
Patrick, do you have a different thought?
Yeah, because Tim, first thing I want to say is, Tim, good luck this year.
You mean to my beneficiary.
This is going to be an exciting year for everyone involved. I don't really
unless you're going to experience death by suffocation because your wife gets mad at you one night or something, you know.
Yeah, but then the Slayer statute comes into play.
She'd get the whole $150,000.
No, the Slayer statute would knock her out.
She'd have to prove. They'd have to prove death by suffocation by another party.
They have to show that she was involved in the death. So, but at the end of the day, I don't think you have enough information, Tim. I think you need to know more about what they're going to... I mean, such nebulous terms as possibly make an offer. I mean, that's really, really loose language. I think
Tim, my prediction is they're not going to buy your policy.
I'm with Joe on this. Or they're going to make you such a ridiculous offer that it's not even going to be worth it.
Well, would $5,000 be worth it? I would.
If they offered him $5,000 with 1 year to go on that one, I would take that money.
Yeah, I'll take it and run.
I would, too.
I don't think you're going to see that offer, for the record, Tim. So if that comes across the table, make sure you get it in writing.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Your ministry.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Paul in Orange Park.
Yes. Keep up the great work. Thousands of my community residents listen to you religiously, and y'all just.
Hey, if that's true, they'd probably love to meet me, and I'd love to come speak at your homeowners association meeting or something.
Well, we can arrange that, and I might get maybe 2,500 people there for you, but.
Okay, when can I sign that contract with you? I'll be willing to.
I hear you get, what, $1,000 a minute, something like that, so we'll do 13 minutes.
Okay? When we discount it, yes, that's the goal.
Okay, and bring Patrick along with you.
No, I was going to pay you, not what I'm going to get.
Well, we'll do it out of a trust fund or something.
All right, hey, that would be a deal.
Question. I'm about to go under the knife. I'm not in the best of health with my heart. And to fast forward, I just found out. Someone passed away in another state, left me a $750,000, whatever type of life insurance policy, and then $66,000 in their safe in cash. Don't tell IRS. But anyway, I'm not about to go get it because it's not anywhere near Florida. However, I did talk to the big, better insurance company in the sky in New York City, and they said, well, we'll hold it in our bank as long as you want, and you know whether you want a little bit or whatnot. I says, well, I'll get back to you because...
the insurance company is going to pay you a death benefit and send you a check, though. It's nothing you have to go get.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what they asked me, address. I just hold off on that because when I get it, I want to be able to invest it or trust fund it or whatnot.
Paul, let me tell you this. I wouldn't hold up. Because here's why. If you passed away before you received it, then your estate would be probated.
It'd be an ancillary too, potentially.
Well, it's life insurance though.
But if there's a safe deposit box out of state,
I wouldn't worry about too much. But I'd get the death benefit on the life insurance right away. Send my death certificate and put a claim form in on that right away.
So the other thing, if I pass, I'm worth. Years ago I started these $1 million policies, very little in the service. When I went from 10,000 to 100,000, and I retired in 92, when I kicked them up to about seven of them, actually it's eight of them now, to $1 million, and I pay minimal every month. Could they, and I'm about to form my own trust fund, and to fast forward, could they be, say I die tomorrow, could they go into my trust fund, or do they have to, they're payable to organizations and people right now who don't know about it, non-family members. I don't have any wife or children, and my assets are solid, and no mortgages, just basic bills.
You're worried about who going into your trust fund?
Well, yeah, because I'm about to set that up, but I didn't set it up yet, and I was told to set it up before you go under the knife, because I only have a 50-50 chance of surviving, and I don't like those percentages.
So when's your surgery?
Yesterday, if the Mayo Clinic had their way, but probably sometime in end of March, early April. I'm postponing as long as I can.
So you have an attorney you're working with to create your trust?
About two, a local attorney that handled my uncle and my dad and mom's trust.
Okay.
So she's adamant on getting me in there because she knows I'm going under the knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but okay, so I am... one of the elder families of the county when it was dirt roads and fields, and I'm going to remain nameless on the last name, but I'll get with your office, and I can get you one in Fleming Island, I can get you one in Orange Park, and if I can get a big enough area as far as not a room, but, you know, then maybe we can combine them, get everybody come together because...
Well, that would be super. I'm in Jacksonville. You know, I have offices in Jacksonville, and I'm there every other week. I'll be there next this coming Thursday and Friday, so...
Okay. Because I would like to get, an auditorium or something, a nice, you know, not just a... hall type, you know, but we do have them, you know, and for average about 250 people, but I like
just a small theater.
Yeah.
I'll be at the door charging admission.
You can keep the admission charge. That would be fine. That'll be our deal.
And we'll have food. No, the entertainment will be you guys, but we'll have some more dirt.
You know, the largest speaking engagement I've had in the Jacksonville area is at the Marsh Landing Country Club, and there was a room of like 300 or 400 people, so And
well,
one of the
500, we'll be like first up, huh?
Yeah, Paul. Yeah. But you said you guys, this deal was just for one of us. It's like booking Kiss. You get Gene or Paul. You don't get both. So.
Well, I got news for you. We know who the senior person is, and no pun intended. But when you say Joe Smith, like you did before,
yeah, Joe Smith,
chuckle.
Yeah. It's my new name.
In May,
see, I'm going to have a hard time with that when I can see that coming
Troy
up.
I'm going to have Troy change your email.
Yeah, right.
He's sharp. Keep him on the payroll. Patrick
All right.
is sharp. You know, I have relatives in the lawyers in the family, and they tell me Patrick is sharp. He's not always on with you, or maybe he doesn't always talk when he's there, but Patrick is sharp.
You know? He is.
Yeah. All hey, right. Keep up the great work. I appreciate the info, and can I put you guys in my will?
We can't prepare the document if you do. So.
Okay, well, that's right. We'll leave you maybe 30,000 acres in rural Clay County that you wouldn't believe what they paid for and what it's worth now. Unbelievable.
Hey, but we're not gonna then I would just build a new town center, you know.
Yeah. They said either get inheritance-wise, get the trust fund, real estate, or life insurance policies, and, boy, they weren't kidding. Some of the old-timers had some real old policies.
Yeah.
I'll give your office a call during the week, and I'll talk to the elders of the community, male and female alike, and we'll put it together. I'll get a hold of the Women's Club, Gardens Club, Historical Society, and we'll spread the word. And
I need to put you on my marketing payroll here. I mean, you sound like a wonderful person to have on staff.
I used to be a shaker, mover, doer. You guys are all that now. I had a great hell of a deal 3 years ago, and I'll tell you what, the Lord didn't take me yet, so I'm God bless that one. But I want to do what I can do up until even if I do pass. But,
hey, I can tell you that Patrick and I will both pray for you and your surgery.
Absolutely,
though.
Paul.
Thank you.
All right.
And, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Bob in Tampa.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning.
I just received a letter from a PI saying that my mom had some money, unclaimed money with the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted 20% of it. So I kind of thought about it. So I went to the state of Florida and I found the site about how to claim it. But the problem is, it's some stock is in my mom's name.
So what's the value of the stock?
Around $3,200.
Okay. So they wanted a $700 fee to get this?
Yeah. Well, I found out that I don't need that. I can do it. I went on the unclaimed.
Yeah, you can do.
I went on the unclaimed site, and they're sending me a form to fill out. But what else do I have to
do? Is your mother deceased though?
Yeah, she died in '98.
Well, you might be able to fill out a form, but they might also require that it go through probate, unless the account had you as a beneficiary, perhaps.
Well, that's the thing. Public said it that I wasn't on there.
You weren't on there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that they gave her stock and didn't put me on it, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's all controlled by her and what she tells them to do, though, basically.
Well, she
was it part of a retirement account?
It was stock. She was working for Publix, and they gave her stock.
Yeah.
She didn't understand it at all.
All right. Well, Paul, since you've requested the forms, take a look at them. If you want to try to send it in yourself, go ahead. But I think there's a chance you might have to go through a probate process to get to the stock. And if you have questions about it, you can give us a call. And Patrick wants to.
Yeah, Bob, when your mom passed away in '98, do you recall if her estate was ever probated at that time?
No, my mom was living with me her last 13 years.
So if they require the paperwork, there's a method under the probate code. If the amount is less than $6,000, you can actually do something called a disposition without administration. You don't need to remember that, Bob. You can call either Joe or myself at the office, but there's a way you can go down to the county and do a disposition without administration.
Was there a funeral bill more than $3,200?
Exactly, yes.
You know? Do you remember if her funeral bill was more than $3,200?
She gave her body to science.
So there was no funeral bill?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you get the forms? Do you have any questions? And if you don't have someone else, like another attorney you have a relationship with, and you have a question for either Patrick and I, we'd be glad to help you.
Well, you're my man. I've been listening to you since 1980.
All right.
Two or something or other.
They tell me I'm the longest running show, except for maybe the Grand Ole Opry, which might have been a little bit longer than me.
It sounds like you never grow up. Your voice is just absolutely the same as it always has been.
That's the only thing that maybe hasn't changed about me is my voice, though.
Well, thanks, guys. I'll get back with you as soon as I can get the form.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
And, Joe, you know there's a reason why they haven't been listening to me since 1982.
Yes.
I was one. So.
All right. So you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law with Patrick Pippin and Joe
there
Smith.
You go.
Right?
That's fair game. Turnabout's fair game, right? So.
No, it's Attorney Joe Pippin and Patrick Smith. And if you have a legal question, you have about 10 minutes left in the show. It's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, if you'd like our estate planning poster sheet, we have this large poster sheet with five articles about on estate planning on one side of it. All of our attorneys and office locations and phone numbers and radio shows and things like that are on the other side. It's very helpful. Even if you have your estate planning documents or you think you have them in the way you want them, you could learn something from this sheet. You'd learn how trusts work. You'd learn the cost of probate. You learn the options in estate planning, the pluses and minuses of the different things you can do. It's very helpful, I think, for most people who've received it. It's a large poster sheet. We'd love to mail it to you. It's double-sided. You could look at it online, but you'd be much happier if you had it in your hand. You can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. You can email for it at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text your name and address to 727-667-3967. I'll try to do this then again right at the end of the show. Let's go to Bill in Jacksonville. Hey, Bill.
I have a question about being a new resident of Florida. I recently came to the last 2 years from New York, and I was wondering if there's anything unique from an estate standpoint that I should be concerned about in my move.
Well, congratulations on moving to a warm place.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Thank you.
And Jacksonville is perfect because, you know, I live in Tampa. I have offices in Jacksonville and come there every other week or so, but we love Jacksonville because it's a little more seasonal than Tampa and south of Tampa. So we enjoy the cooler weather more up there than we could here. And we love all the restaurants in Jacksonville. I mean, it's a great, great place to go. All right, so you got rid of in New York, they have a state income tax.
Yes. But,
all right, so you get rid of that because you're a Florida resident. You can file your last New York return and have become a Florida resident on that so they don't bother you anymore about taxes.
I hope.
New York has a very aggressive estate tax. So you want to get a Florida driver's license right away, get a voter's card right away, change your address away from New York to Florida right away. You want to do all of those things to make it solid that you're a Florida citizen. Florida has no estate tax, no state income tax. You have an $11.4 million federal exemption for you and your spouse if you're married. So you have a $22.8 million exemption from estate taxes with no state tax. And I think if you get a driver's license and voter's card, you'd be in good shape. Patrick, you want anything to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say you may want to consider adding the declaration of domicile, but yeah. Everything else Joe recommended is spot on.
Great, I'm there. But from an estate standpoint, am I going to have to do anything different than I've already done in New York?
Yeah, your New York estate planning documents should be reviewed and modified to make it work better in Florida. I don't know what you have, so I can't tell you really what to do. But if you had a trust, we'd probably amend the trust. If you had wills, we'd redo the wills. The power of attorneys, healthcare, surrogate, and living wills should be updated every 3 to 4 years, regardless of where they are. So, yeah, you need some tweaking.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. And if we can help you in any way, I'll give out the toll-free office number here in a few minutes, and I would be glad to look at it for you. We don't charge anything for review. I'll be in the Jacksonville area starting Thursday for a few days this week. No, next week.
Thank you. I appreciate your help.
All right. Thank you. All right. So, Patrick, I have earned 3 spot-ons today so far. Yeah. So, I'm keeping count.
There you go.
Because I like that spot-on.
It's good to have goals.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Sharon in Tampa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I need to know, I had a gentleman that we had shared the same home together for like 6 years, and we bought vehicles together. One vehicle is in my name only, and one is in his name and my name. I guess they put me as a co-signer.
Mm-hmm. So it's or on the title?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So either one of us has. Anyway, he keeps getting tickets for running red lights and, you know, things like that. And, of course, it comes back because my name is first on the title. And he's not paying them. And I just got a letter the other day that my driver's license was suspended because of a ticket that he got back in August. So I immediately paid it. It was like $285. And then yesterday I got another ticket. And I called the finance company and asked them to remove my name, and they won't. And now I'm getting mail from ladies that he's been with that he is getting IDs and saying that they live at my house, and they don't. And I don't know what to do anymore. I called Tampa police, and they said that my hands were tied.
Well, I think the best solution might be to pay off the car and just refinance it. Do you have the money to do that?
No, they're still owed on the car $16,000. I thought about that.
Can you maybe seek out going to, without paying it off, can you seek out getting a loan from someone else? See, here's the problem, though. If you get a loan from someone else and he's not able to get the loan, and even if you could get the loan, well, it's or. So you might be able to get the car transferred to your name and get a new loan, but that might be, if you can't refinance, then that's the other issue.
Well, I know that Tampa police told me that I could pick the car up because legally the car's mine.
You could. And then you could sell the car and pay off the loan.
That's what they told me to do. But then, of course, I got to find out where the car is. And, you know, it's just so much hassle. Now, I went to the motor vehicle place. And how do I stop having women having their ID at my address?
You'd probably have to get some injunction, get him in court and get some type of an injunction to stop his behavior. I don't know, Patrick, okay. Do you have a different thought on that?
Is this gentleman, and I'm probably using that term loosely, is he still living at this particular location?
No.
So
he hasn't been. But the thing is, he has my address on his driver's license.
And with his address, or your address on his license, he's now used that to establish basically a parade of random women.
Why don't you go to DMV and tell them the story and see if they will suspend his license?
I did, and they told me that they can't do nothing, that I would have to go to Tampa Police, which I did call Tampa Police, and they're the only one that could put a junction. And see, he needs to have a physical address because of his previous lifestyle, so that is why. You know, I'm having issues. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid that somebody might get in trouble.
Yeah.
Somebody come in and kick in my door, you know?
I think I would do an affidavit, maybe an attorney affidavit, and send it to DMV.
Okay.
That you go on record as to telling them this whole story and that he's using it wrongly without your permission, and you want to go on record and have something to follow the DMV. And then maybe pursue the police again or have an attorney. I have an attorney in Tampa that I know that might be able to help if you want to contact my office.
Okay. And what is your office number again?
I'll just give you the 800. Well, 727.
Hold on.
Yeah, I'm running out of time, though. 727-586-3306.
Okay.
Extension 200. Sharon, I've got to run.
Okay,
all right, thanks. Talk to you off the air.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like that poster sheet, you can get it one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. You can email at Joe, J-O-E. And by the way, we don't charge for first appointments either. 1-800-226-3529. Patrick, give your contact office number there.
So you can reach out to the office at 352-241-8760 or email me at patricksmith@attypip.com.
And my email address for the poster sheet or contact is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. The text number is 727-667-3967. Thanks, Patrick, for being on the show.
Joe, thanks for having me.
All right. So long. Have a safe weekend.